Oh, you're not. Are you plugged in? Oh, you're not plugged in, I don't think.
Because you're in my bowl.
I don't mean to do that.
That is exactly right. Here, take mine.
You?
I want you to have mine.
It's too tall, I don't fit.
Meeting to order. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Bruce?
Here.
Councilmember Christensen?
Here.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item is the consent agenda. Any questions or comments or anything you want pulled for discussion or motion to approve?
I would move we approve the consent agenda.
A second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. That takes us right to public hearings. Case number 2001 PUD and 2006 ZC and 2008 S, 22-01V and 2001 DA. Doug Hansen.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. The application before you requests plan unit development approval for an approximately 7.04-acre site with C1 neighborhood commercial and R12 high-density residential zoning districts, and to subdivide the property into 66 total lots, 54 residential, 6 common, and 6 commercial. A variance has been requested for 3-foot side setbacks in order to have a separation distance between single-family structures less than 10 feet. By doing so, the applicant will be required to meet additional International Building Code and fire standards for construction and fire suppression. The applicant has proposed private roads within the subdivision, and on page 10 of Exhibit 2.64, Ada County Highway District has detailed the public versus private road layout required to conform to ACHD policy. The Idaho Transportation Department in Exhibit 2.66 states the traffic impact study for the Merlin Cottages subdivision was accepted October 2018. At full build-out of phase one of the project, the developer will collect updated traffic counts for North Sailor and submit a right turn lane warrant to ITD. Should the warrant identify the need for a right turn lane, the applicant will need to design and construct the required mitigation to ITD standards. At the April 12, 2022 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, the Commission recommended approval of the project with the conditions as outlined in staff's report and the additional conditions that the developer install a tot lot and benches within the green spaces and that the developer meet with the CUNA School District to discuss their concerns. As of June 20th, staff was made aware that the applicant had met with the school district. If the council approves the plan unit development, rezone, preliminary plat, variance and development agreement, staff would recommend the applicant be subject to the conditions of approval listed in section 10 of the staff report, as well as any other additional conditions this decision-making body decides to impose. I will stand by for any questions you may have.
Okay, questions for Doug?
Yes, if you don't mind.
Yes.
One quick question, I can't find it in here, but does ACHD have any recommendations about right in and right out on that curve?
So that is actually not in ACHD's jurisdiction. ITD has jurisdiction until Orchard on Avalon.
ITD, okay. Anything further for Doug? Did the applicant wish to?
Record, 18 Land Consultants, 1785 Whisper Cove, Boise, Idaho, 83709. Let's see if I can. scroll through this. I'll kind of go through and outline some of the characteristics of the site first. As Doug stated, we do have an element of single-family units, and these are on smaller lots. The idea that we had behind that is when we sold and marketed the townhomes just to the north of this, a lot of the individuals that bought in there wanted basically their home, not just the home, but the landscaping all around the buildings to be done by an HOA. So what our attempt to here was to kind of meet some of the requests that we had to the north, shrink up the lot so that we didn't have a lot of area for maintenance. And we've got basically there will be in the back of the units, we've got long paseos with pathways in there, and those will be all maintained by one HOA. We did originally start out with quite a few more lots, and we, through the process from staff's recommended changes until now, we greatly reduced. Plus, one of the concerns, the HOA, the subdivision to the north that we did, one of the concerns was that it was too dense. So we dropped from 71 down to 54. And I'll show you in a future slide here of the previous layouts and where we're at today. One of the biggest concerns and one of the biggest delays that we had was due to the traffic that the Planning and Zoning Commission had. So we had to, it took forever for us to get a traffic report out of ITD. We eventually got that. Originally, this site, we were slated for a Walmart, and they, as you guys will know, they picked a different corner. They're headed to Deer Flat and Meridian Road. So when we lost that tenant, we decided to basically redesign the site, and that's where we're at today. There are a mixture of private roads and public. The main north-south and the main east-west are being built as public to ACHD standards. The driveway that goes out to Avalon is was approved by ITD as a right-in, right-out only, so that will be restricted. The architecture of the buildings are going to be very similar to what was done in the townhome phase. It'll be a craftsman style. They're going to be between 15 to 1,800 square feet. The front-loaded homes on the public street are proposed to be a standard front entry, two-car garage. And then on the private roads, we're doing an alley-type approach, and that will be also a two-car garage. We're planning to partner again with the same builder, so we're going to get a fairly good quality, higher quality product type. We got quite a bit of actually compliments from the buyers to the north and the townhomes. So we are going to keep some unity and some consistency with that. Let me go through. Here's kind of a mocked up version of how it's going to look once it's built with the surrounding. So we're going to have very similar characteristics here. Here's the paseos that I was talking about, and then another paseo going down here. So that's kind of a showing how it's going to look with the architecture. Here was our original submittal. This was a public street, and then these were alleys. ACHD had some issues with that, so we had some changes in our current layout. Again, here's the paseo, and then the other paseo along the west side. These are proposed to be just commercial up here, small retailer ends. And then, again, here's the alley loaded right in here, and alley loaded here. These are the front loaded, the standard two-car garage, two-car off space parking. One of the unique things about this development is we're providing almost 26% of open space. And again, that was done so that it can all be maintained and operated by one HOA. We have met all fire requirements, engineering, planning requirements, and we've modified this to reflect what's been asked of each department. So with that said, because we are meeting all the requirements, I should go on record to say we've read through all staff's conditions and we've agreed with it. With that, I'll stand for any questions.
Okay, questions for Mr. Arnold. Nothing right now. Thank you. All right, this is a public hearing. I didn't have anybody sign in to testify. Is there anybody who wishes to sign in that didn't get a chance to? Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and open the public hearing then. And now is a good time to ask questions for staff or applicant. Or Doug, I saw that there was a, in the list of things, there was a letter, it listed a letter from the fire district, but I saw a letter in there that was a question about the fire district, but I didn't see a letter from the fire district. It was on
So that starts on page 208. Yep. So we actually had meetings with Reggie Edwards, the former deputy fire marshal, and the applicant with Public Works to go over the layout. When Scott Arlano came on to do plan review, he didn't provide us a specific letter, so I reached out to him with the question that you see below. Talking about that space and if it would require a turnaround, but it was under the minimum length required to have a fire turnaround. So those were the only comments we had officially from them at that time.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
Mayor, if I might.
Yes.
Paul, sorry to bring you into this. I did want to ask you about, just from the engineering side of things with this, the sewer in that area. I know that the addendum was from Catherine, not yourself, but I'm sure you're well aware of it. You know, you mentioned in here if the city approves this rezone, other lots and phases must decrease demand due to accommodate the Merlin Point Cottages subdivisions. Is that substation out there, the one that this utilizes, is that one that is currently being upgraded over Danskin?
They will flow to the Orchard Lift Station, and we're not currently upgrading that, but we are looking into upgrades on that.
Okay.
The difficulty, if there is one, will be the size of the pipe that they will be discharging into. And I believe, I was looking for the actual words, I haven't scrolled down the 6 million pages yet, but I believe they do need to upsize some pieces in there, which I think he's agreeing to do.
Page 184 is your addendum.
I'm afraid I'm not clever enough to do that.
Yeah, the page 184 of 373, I guess.
And I just managed to go all the way back to one.
I guess, because what it does talk about in here, Paul, to your point, the largest concern is the 8-inch diameter sewer conveyance pipe. All phases of the Merlin Point subdivision will contribute sewer to that 8-inch pipe. And it says, to make Merlin Point cottages and the remaining phases of Merlin Point successful, the applicant will need to increase the pipe size for an estimated length of 1,300 feet to accommodate their proposed use.
I believe that's correct, yeah.
Okay. And you said they have agreed to do that. Is that in writing anywhere, or is that just more of a gentleman's handshake that we've received so far?
I think you can make it in your approval. That is a condition of approval.
If I may, just to point something out, Exhibit 10.22 of the staff report, the developer, owner, or applicant shall follow staff, city engineers, and other agencies' recommended requirements as applicable. So that makes them required to follow all of those agency recommendations we have in the comments. If you would like to add an additional condition, though, as a safeguard, that's fine as well.
Thanks, Doug. I know Dave's not here to also speak to school district numbers, as that's always in top of at least my mind. I can speak for myself on that. And we're looking at schools already over capacity as well in that area, and with this originally being zoned commercial, it's going to add another strain to the school district. And their letter does call that out from a number standpoint and enrollment standpoint. And I know, you know, that's always something important to keep in mind, especially when we make a decision to take acreage and turn a lot of it into an R12 development from a commercial development.
And then do we have an update on the contact with the school district? No, they were talking about pathways and things.
Lighting decay? Is that what it said? Lighting decay? Is that what letter you're talking about?
Well, so on the recommendation from planning and zoning conditions, I think that was one of the things that they were talking about, was the school district was opposed to it because of lack of pathways or safe routes to bus stops or something. So, was there any of that addressed? Do you know, or
in their letter here, they do talk about walkways with lights and bike paths and pedestrian access for students in the bottom paragraph there. If that's what maybe you're referencing. On 152 of the packet.
Right, and that's in their letter, but from the Planning and Zoning Commission, that was one of the things that had been mentioned. So the letter starts out saying we had no further contact. So I don't know if there was a pathway issue or if it's like all other subdivisions where you create a bus stop and kids get there from within the subdivision. I don't know what the issue was.
Yeah, for the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning staff. This was actually presented by Jessica Reed. I was at the CUNA School District Board meeting at that time. From my understanding, the condition in the staff report that we did not actually include was that the developer worked with the school district for mitigation purposes on their concerns. We chose not to include that as a condition because it was fairly vague, and we knew that it could be addressed in the city council meeting if needed.
Oh, so it'll just be something moving forward. Okay.
Yeah, if you included that condition, yes. Okay. But we did talk with the applicant, and he did meet with the school district to discuss concerns with mitigation for the subdivision.
Okay.
I have a question for Paul.
Okay.
At the, you said that they haven't looked into upgrading the lift station now. So if everything that we've already approved, the current station will handle everything that we've already said okay to?
I believe that's a correct statement. The upgrade we're considering is that there's room for a third pump, but it was not plumbed in because we expected this lift station to last 20 years before requiring an update.
So, Paul, at this point, just to make sure my head is wrapped around what's being said here with that, the station is in need of an upgrade. It cannot support it at its current outlook, in a sense. Today's pump can't support a development like this, but the developer would be in agreement to update 1,300 feet of the tubing that's needed to really support the EDUs that will come from the residential side in this development. Is that correct?
Warren, there's three components. One is the pipe, one is the lift station, and one is the treatment plant. So in this case, I believe we have enough capacity at the lift station at the moment, but the pipe going to the lift station is not big enough.
That's what it is. Okay. Thank you.
I just look at the school district that was written on December 9th. And I guess, Doug, would be a question for you. Was the meeting with the school district and the developer after December 9th or prior to December 9th?
For the record, Doug Hansen, Councilman Laraway, that would probably be a decision for the applicant. Staff was not involved, can't be involved with those meetings.
Okay. So this letter was written post your conversation with them and the developer?
That letter was most likely written before that condition was made by the Planning and Zoning Commission. I believe, what date would that have been? So that condition from the Planning and Zoning Commission would have been made in the April 12th, 2022 okay. Planning and Zoning Commission meeting.
Okay, thank you.
And John, or Councilman Laraway, I don't know if you saw the letter from June 29th from the school.
No, what page is that?
That's on page 152. Oh, that was June 29th, 2021. Yes, not 2022. Okay. So you're right, the most recent was in December.
December 9th. Well, and then, you what?
She's from the school district. I was going to ask if they had an update.
Do you want to sign up? And
did you want to comment on it?
Comment on it?
No.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
So, in reference to that letter then from December, I'm caught up on that now with that. It does talk about general education students walking all the way to K Street. According to Compass, that's roughly half a mile. And so we're asking all general education students now to walk a half a mile.
Are they referring to?
To a bus stop.
To a bus stop.
Well, they have a bus stop for special needs students.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to provide a bus for general population students. And that's their choice. But I'm confused. Are we talking about the child safe passage? They have sidewalks, at least have sidewalks to travel on to get to school. And I think this does.
On Cuna Road and Sailor.
Because it's part of the development. I mean, some subdivision has sidewalks. The new subdivision that was put in on Sailor has sidewalks. This will have sidewalks. It probably won't have any interior passageways through an existing subdivision. But I'm thinking one of the elementary schools around there would be, they'd have to go down K Street to Porter Street.
Yeah. To Hubbard and Fremont.
So they're going to have
Fremont.
To walk on Highway 69 for, I don't know how many hundred yards. But they talk about the buses are going to go by there.
Well, generally they ask for a bus stop on somewhere at the edge of a subdivision so they don't have to meander through.
Right, they're not going to be talking to schools. There's just a different bus location for them to be picked up.
Right.
Well, typically, if it's in a certain radius, they don't provide pickup anyway if you're going to those schools. It would only be if they're getting picked up to go to schools further out. Like right there, I live off K, so they don't provide any buses there to the school. They have to walk to all three of those schools.
Because
they're close proximity. Yeah, within.
I think with you within half a mile of a school, and that might be a good question for you. Buses do not pick up if the student lives within half a mile of their attending school, correct?
Can you come to the mic and identify yourself and answer that question, please?
Hi, everyone. Danielle Horace. I'm with CUNA School District. So the question is, the school bus does not pick up if they're within a half a mile. Is that the question?
Yes, ma'am.
So I can investigate that and get back to you. Mm-hmm.
And this, I don't know if this is a policy thing. It says while our buses can turn onto Sailor, they do so for the two special education students. Our transportation director indicates they will not be turning in for general education students because, as a practice, we do not.
School buses don't turn into neighborhoods.
They pull in my neighborhood all the time.
But you're more than half a mile from the school.
Yeah.
Well, so are they.
Yeah. But it says they can walk to K Street. And then is there a bus stop on K, like,
yeah,
there?
Okay.
That's what I'm taking from it. Maybe I'm reading that wrong.
I'll go with that.
Hey, Doug.
Yes.
On page 175, it shows a yellow highlighted area. It says vicinity map is... There's already a development there, right? There's already houses and townhouses there already. Is the project within that square?
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, there is a development just to the north of the yellow square. The yellow square that you see there is still vacant land, and then the Merlin Point subdivision is directly to the north. This would connect into that.
So it just doesn't show that one that's there?
Yep, so that aerial imagery, it's likely that it wasn't updated with new photos since all of the homes have been constructed.
I guess for me, it would really, really help to know exactly where that bus stop is, because just the thought of students walking down Highway 69, half a mile or what that may be to get to a bus stop. We're talking about kids at Fremont Middle, but we're also talking about kids at Hubbard Elementary.
And there's no sidewalk on there.
Yeah, I don't know if there's even a sidewalk, but
there is.
All the way down. Okay.
Around the corner.
For the record, Doug Hansen, Cuno Planning and Zoning. So there will be a connection from this neighborhood through Merlin to the north off Serafina Street that will take you to K. They could avoid Avalon and Meridian Road in order to get to K.
On Bay Heaven? That goes north.
Yeah. So they would have to travel north and then west to K through that neighborhood.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Maybe go up Sunburn. But I'm not a dictator of which way kids walk.
Yes.
I'm looking at the options they have available.
Oh, I'm sure they'd listen to you.
What's that?
I'm sure the kids will listen to you.
You know, and I guess the question then, you know, if anyone wants to discuss, too, is we've really taken into account the seriousness of adding a development with where the school population is, too. You know, we're looking at a rezone right now. And so we are looking at adding to the school district. And it's no secret where they're at and their thoughts on that, but also what all these other additional developments are going to do to the school as well. And if we keep piling on, when does it change?
Well, they already said they're going to be over capacity, so how do they mitigate that? Whether we add or subtract or
Absolutely, yeah. You know, if they're already over capacity, they're over capacity, and so they have to figure out how to mitigate that. But do we as a council continue to add on like this when they're in that crisis and that internal dilemma to have to already mitigate overcrowding as it is?
Well, I mean, in theory, you're correct, but I guess you have to have a comparison if the fire department only had one fire engine. Whose responsibility is it to keep up with? And the same with the police department. You can't run around town with one police officer. I mean, you have to build as the town grows, but the school doesn't.
Yeah, well, and I absolutely agree with that, but I also realize the school district with the laws can't collect the impact fees to help with that growth as well, like the fire district can and the police can.
Sure.
It's up to...
It's been going on for a long time, and they just filed for an extension here a while back.
What project?
This is what you're talking about.
Okay.
It's been in the works for a long time, and yet within the last, 8 months now, we're finally hearing stuff from the school district about
The commercial project was in development for a long time, not a residential R12 density.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you look at it, the last elementary school they built was 2011. That's 12 years ago.
No, and
the population was 10 to 11,000 people.
I completely agree with that. I do.
But how do we function as a city government when we have an entity that doesn't keep up?
I do understand the question. I'm just trying to figure out how to verbiage this. But, John, it's not an ideal situation because of that exact case, right? But if we as a city can at least help slow it down at levels that, you know, we can look at and see where we can find that happy medium, I do believe it does fall on the responsibility to slow it down until the school district can figure that out.
Well, I think logic implied if we stopped, we started turning down everything from today on, they're still behind. So us fixing the problem at our level, not fixing the problem at their level.
You're right. We can only control what we can control, though. Right? So we're taking an already extensive situation at the school district level because nothing's happened in 11 years from an elementary school. But we're taking the situation and we keep building onto it. And we keep making it worse and worse and worse and worse. We can't moratorium everything and stop everything. But at certain levels in developments and looking at taking land from commercial to residential or a new annexation in an area that's already got 10 annexations and future growth, that's the things that we can help slow it down with. Because growth is going to happen.
Yeah, but I think unrealistically, do we allow only subdivisions with 100 houses from now on? I mean, there's no flow chart for us to go by because the school district is always going to be behind. That's my confusion.
And do we have the legal capacity to say, well, our school said they're full unless they do this mitigation thing they're doing right now? And can we stick our neck out on that based on what this developer wants to do?
Well, I think we can stick our neck out in areas that isn't legislative. And correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, but a rezone is not legislative, correct?
Mark Bybee, city attorney. No, it's not. They almost always accompany an annexation, but they don't have to. And in this case, this is just only the rezone, so this is purely a LUPA application issue.
Thank you. So at that point, then, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't carry the legalities that I think you're referencing. That could be wrong.
And then one point I would like to clarify, because this has come up in a lot of school district comments. It says, in the 2019 City of Cuna Comprehensive Plan approved by the City Council, you state school facilities will expand as needed. Basically, those are excerpts from, I believe that one probably comes from state code. So in a comprehensive plan, we put the rules, and we also support early education. That doesn't mean we pay for it. It means that we support that happening in the city, and we want developers and everyone to know that coming in. So those are excerpts that are added in there to determine how growth happens in the city. So I know they think that we are dictating to them, but we're not. That's actually state code. So.
It would almost be wise in my eyes, and you can all just be blunt and honest with it, to and forgive me if I'm not correct in this, but getting someone here from the school district that held that discussion with the developer and talk about the concerns that they were able to hash out.
Yeah, the one thing I didn't hear that kind of confused me, I didn't realize this was a thing where it says in order to expand, we require partnerships with developers. I didn't realize that was a partnership. I didn't realize developers were required to. I guess that's my ignorance.
I don't know that they are, but I think by getting someone here that can speak to that might help answer these questions.
Well, the applicant had the discussion with the school district, so.
Are you
would be reasonable to ask Mr. Harlan?
Absolutely. Are you able to speak to the conversation and the concerns they had?
It needs to be green. They switched it on you.
It's green. It's actually green now. We fixed it.
Yeah, okay. Again, for the record, Steve Arnold, 18 Land Consultants. Yeah, we did have I met with them almost a week and a half ago, Robbie Reno. And actually, he spent about an hour and 20 minutes kind of explaining some of the issues that they're having. And one of the things that they have offered up in their partnership would be to have us supply things like school bus, mowers, other upgrades to the existing buildings with some of the stuff that was brought up. And then basically a fee per house was also discussed. I think we were at like $3,000 a home to be charged. That's basically a fee of the impact that the home had on the school district. Another thing that was discussed is the one thing that one of the schools, which is Cuna High School, was the one that was getting the most impact. The other schools had plenty of capacity. The grade school and the middle school. So it was mainly the high school just to the north of this. So we talked fees, and then he talked about how the legislative issues, for whatever reason, and I know my eyes kind of glazed up at that time, there's issues that they can't go and get the funds that, say, another school district like Boise School District does because of different codes or legislative issues. I guess Boise School District was formed before it was a state. So they get different funding. And, you know, he and I talked for quite a bit. And I, you know, at the end of it, I'm thinking to myself, we've got a $1.3 billion surplus within our government. I mean, it really is, in my opinion, a legislative issue. And I think he agreed to that, but it's, you know, they're still having an issue right now, as Councilman Christensen brought up. So, and ironically, 2021, you know, having gone through all this with ITD, the original letter that you got from the school district recommended approval. So that's what I guess a year makes. So that was the meeting that we had. And like I said, I kind of walked away from it thinking, wow, it's too bad we got the surplus and you got a school district that can't tap into it.
Thank you.
Did they happen to point to any kind of a policy that they have in place that dictates what these mitigations are?
Mayor Steer, no. They do not have a policy. They're working individually with developer and developers as things come in.
Okay. Good.
And we did, if I can add on. So I used to be employed by ACHD, and we had our traffic impact fees. And it is always a problem that even if we do pay an impact fee, by the time you collect the fees, you're always behind on the road widening. And it's kind of the chicken and egg thing. And you're never, I don't see how an impact fee is going to help the school district because they need to be ahead of the game. And, you know, by being ahead of the game, you know, that's, you can act instead of react. So, and it's, and just like ACHD, so it's interesting how schools work. I got a great education from Robbie, and I asked him, you know, are you a facilities manager? And he says, no, I'm the principal of the Swan Falls High School. And I'm thinking, oh, this is, it's great that he's educating me, but what a waste of time having an educator, you know, doing something outside of what he's good at. And so it sounds like there's some bigger issues out there.
I think the person they had in charge of that has moved on to a different position, so I think they're reorganizing now is why that would be.
I think he was promoted to that position.
So, anyway.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Did you want to sign in to testify so we can just do this right?
Yes, you are now.
It's official.
On paper.
Thank you. Need your driver's license and a drop of blood, too, please.
Three forms of ID. credit card number help would help. And the PIN number on the back, too. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Danielle Horace, CUNA School District. I just want to add that I want to acknowledge that CUNA School District recognizes what we've done before isn't going to work moving forward. And I'm hearing really good questions specifically from you, Mr. Christensen. It's really this existential question of who's responsible for our growth, for paying for it. And unfortunately, we live in a state where impact fees don't apply to school districts, yet growth impacts schools. So all of our conversations are really about that issue. And so what we have done in the past has allowed us to get here. But when we look at the future, truly in 10 years, we're going to have 3,000 kids pulling up to schools with no seats, no teachers, and no classrooms for them. We are in a crisis. And we want to avoid that because we know that that's not the future of CUNA, not of the CUNA you want to live in and not the CUNA we all want to live in. So we're in the process now. As you've said, we've had a high school principal managing this. We've had a person move on. I am brand new to the role in learning, so I'm eager to be here and to learn. And we really want to engage in dialogue and conversation about what this looks like together. The word require can get, you know, kind of grabbed onto. I would say need. That would be the word I would use. We need partnership. You know, we can't go to the moms and the dads and the grandmas and the grandpas and have them foot this whole bill. I will tell you, they're screaming that they can't afford it. So if we all give a little bit, then nobody's really screaming and hurting so much. And that's really what we're looking at doing. So we are engaging with our school board, and we want to understand how to be consistent with all of our developers, because I will fall on the sword and say we have not. It's been let's make a deal for a number of years, and that's been okay. It won't work. It's not going to work going forward. So thank you for letting me chat.
Now that you've stepped up to the podium, what I don't understand is how buying a lawnmower or a bus is going to put more kids in school.
Yeah, it's all just the overall cost of educating a kid, right?
Different budgets.
Right, and I'm not a huge fan of let's make a deal, and that's really what we've been doing, because what we've said is, well, something's better than nothing, and that's how we've operated. You know, if we have money for this, we can at least maybe move some dollars around. When we're talking 3,000 kids without a seat and without a teacher, a lawnmower's not going to cut it.
But if you can understand, the confusion on my part is, if this developer had donated 15 lawnmowers, we've got a different letter. That's the confusion for me.
I think our previous behaviors are confusing. So I want to acknowledge that. And I think it's because we've lacked a pattern and a plan for this level of growth.
I look forward to starting over.
I do too. I think we need a level of playing field, start from scratch, and work on a partnership.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate the honest dialogue. That's been helpful.
Thank you. You're welcome anytime.
Is it okay if I chime in right now a little bit?
Yes, go ahead.
So Mark Bybee, city attorney. Just with some of what I've heard as far as what some of the asks were for mitigation, that's the word that's used. I'm concerned because, and also the term partnership, the legality of it, we've heard multiple people acknowledge the issue with impact fees, and I agree. We cannot charge impact fees for school districts in Idaho. It's not in the legislation. And so when I hear, well, partner with us to provide something, a partnership suggests some kind of voluntary behavior on both sides of the equation, right? The school district and the developer voluntarily partnering. Whereas if you were to cross the path as a city and say, we're going to use our land use permitting authority to require that they partner, that's not a partnership. It's essentially becoming an exaction at that point from the developer. You're crossing an important threshold. And so it's like we've crossed from them partnering and voluntarily participating in something to say, we're going to deny permits based on this. And so we need some authority in law to do that. We don't have in our ordinance right now authority to say we will not approve your rezone unless you give X or some money for per parcel to the school district, and we don't have state legislative authority to collect impact fees. And so it's like, if the school district is proposing that there's some other authority out there that suggests we can make these kinds of exactions from developers, present that to us, because I'm not aware of it in code, and I'm concerned if we're asked to go there, we're going to be crossing a legal boundary that we shouldn't be crossing. And so there is real concerns here for the school districts, not just CUNA school district. I'm hearing concerns, you know, broader than just the CUNA school district. It's, I don't know the reason why the legislation is the way it is, but it's the way it is, and it's creating a funding issue, I agree. And so it leaves us in a situation, it's like you do have the ability for other criteria to deny permits, and so are we going to end up in a situation of just denying permits? And I think, I don't want to get beyond my legal role, but that just gets into a question Doug could speak to of, okay, then we deny permits, do they go to for permits elsewhere, and we end up with a weird planning scheme where we have enclaves of county subdivision because they go to the different permitting authority when they can't get what they want from the city. And oddness can come out of that. I'd hope that the county wouldn't develop enclave parcels, but just another nuance that can come up when you use the authority just to deny permits where you have other basis to do it. You might have other development issues arise.
Oh, I certainly appreciate that clarification. It does make a lot of sense in what you're saying. The only thing I'm trying to get across here is, without going down the road that Mark was talking about, you know, partnering and things like that, I do still have to lean on the fact that every development is an individual development, looked at individually. But when I'm here to authorize a commercial into an R12 high density, I can lean on the fact that it's going to just cause more pain in the school district. And it's been acknowledged that, sure, maybe the planning has faltered on their part, but I can't be the reason it just keeps building up onto them in situations like this. Apologies. I'd just like to clarify one thing. The developer stated capacity, elementary and plenty of capacity in the middle school. According to the letter, Fremont Middle School has 550 currently enrolled at only 430 capacity. So I just wanted to make sure you were all aware of that.
That letter was from?
That was in June of 2021.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably higher today, but I can rely on the numbers even from a year ago to make that conclusion.
May I ask the school a question? It says in your letter, it says, we cannot legally advocate for a bond, therefore passage to keep up with growth is not in our control. Whose control is it? I'm trying to get educated. If the school can't do it.
Now, Danielle Horace, CUNA School District, Councilman Laraway, what a great question. I think that is the fundamental question we're all trying to solve here, is what are the roles of the City Council? What are the limitations legally of the City Council? What are the lanes that we drive in? And we're really trying to learn what ours are, too. If you look at where we've been in the last 10 years, we've been able to piece it together. Like we've been doing, we have to fundamentally change what we've been doing and not rely on our old practices. And so we have to rethink things like you're saying, is we can't expect that our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas are going to foot this whole bill for this doubling of growth. We thought we'd be at like about 5% growth. We're at double and growing that.
But you said we cannot legally advocate for a bond.
Yeah, the school district can't put out flyers and...
Mm-hmm. But, so who has the authority? The school board?
I'm not sure. I can ask and find out.
They can actually run a bond,
right.
But they can't go advocate for a bond and say vote yes.
Right.
Much like when we went for a recreation district, we presented the facts and then people make a decision on that. What you usually end up with is a Friends of Kuna School District, which is a citizens committee off to the side. They're the ones that go out and advocate for, and then you also have those that are no more taxes, never, who go mm-hmm. out and work against it. So that's what I think they mean by that,
mm-hmm.
Is just that they can't go out and say, we have to have this, vote yes.
Thank you, Mayor Steer. That's exactly right. Our teachers and our superintendents can answer questions about it, but they can't issue a recommendation.
Exactly. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I think even with them saying they're partnering with it or not, the numbers are the numbers that we've gotten from them. So whether they can handle the capacity or not, do we know how many houses we've already approved to come online before this? Do we know how many permits we've already issued? How many permits have we already issued? How many single family dwellings that are not, that we've already approved?
Since when?
Let's say the last 12 months.
I for the record, Doug Hansen, Kuna Planning and Zoning, I don't have that number off the top of my head, unfortunately.
We have actually slowed things down a lot in the last 12 months. We've done very few in this last 12 months. There's some that have been standing out. When we went and met with the school district, it was obvious that they had not really kept accounting of what was coming and going, and I think that had a lot to do with the fact they weren't being a part of the testimony and part of the subdivision. So Jace was here at the time. I had actually asked Jace to provide them with all of that information so they were updated, and I think they even made them kind of an interactive kind of thing so that they could plug in new numbers. And so they should have all the current numbers as they stand today of everything that was approved whenever ago. And I think that's where they base their app build out that you see
that
on
number,
some of
what,
that.
Okay,
so that
okay.
number should
that's
be
what
in
I was
there.
Getting to.
The only thing I did notice on the other map, though, at their capital planning session, the Meridian City area, so would be east of Highway 69 and north of Columbia. They didn't have any dots on any of that, so I don't know that they have any information in there other than what the city of Kuna provided. I don't think they have anything for Meridian. I don't think they have anything from Ada County, and I don't think they have anything from Canyon County. So okay. I think the city of Kuna is the only numbers they were looking at. So. That might be good to
for them to acquire that information.
Yeah. But yeah, in the last while here, we haven't approved hardly anything. So.
Yeah, no, they were getting caught back up, or they were you were at least paying attention for a while because it was them not showing up or sending letters that they could. And
I think the last one was 32 or 34 dwelling units, something like that. The most recent one, but that's the biggest we've done in quite a while.
don't have any other questions.
Okay.
Okay, I find myself calling for you here. Let's see, if there is nothing further, I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second that. Motion's made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
You've got a mouthful. Are you going to say it now or later?
No, I really appreciate the responses we got from them and answered a lot of questions I had in my head too, but I just still do have to lean on the fact that making a problem and adding on to that, regardless of the other party's planning, it's just hard to justify.
And I think even if they were partnering and then they said, hey, they've mitigated some, the numbers are still off. The numbers still don't work. It doesn't, you know, they're still over capacity.
Yeah, the numbers are the numbers, and that's the biggest thing. And, you know, I think we've all been witness to seeing what's been happening with the schools the last couple of years and, you know, what I was personally witness to this last year. Just adding to the problem until there is a true plan in place is just something that doesn't sit right with me. So.
Well, I'm actually optimistic hearing what I heard tonight that we will be able to move forward with working with the school district now again instead of whatever has been happening.
Yeah.
So
I look forward to it.
Yeah, it would be very nice instead of getting hammered in the head every time you turn around.
By that and also the community and parents, and I hear a lot of it out there too. Just in general.
I know it hurts because I know they're overcrowded and they need funding. But I guess, I mean, I don't know how we stop because they can't keep up. You know, the school district's past actions. Again, you guys all touched on it, but we're trying to get that communication open with them and have a better partnership with them and plan with them and so on and so forth. But, I mean, for this case here, yes, this development has changed its course from what it originally was. But they've done their due diligence. They've worked with sewer. They've worked with, you know, everything, ITD, everything they've needed to do. So I don't see how we say, well, good news is you've done all that, but we're not going to do it. And then the flip side of the coin is every time the school has said, well, they've partnered with us, so we'll go ahead and agree to this. And it sounds like they have a partnership, so I don't see why there's opposition to this at all. Because they've talked about it. They've met with the developer. They're going to do something. They don't know what, I think, at this point, it didn't sound like. But I think if, and nothing against you, ma'am, but if former negotiator, for lack of a better word, of the school district was here, he would say this was an okay thing because they've entered into a agreement, partnership, whatever they want to call it that day. So I guess, I know they're overcrowded, but they would give this the golden stamp if that was the case because they've got that magic partnership word attached.
Well, and I think that's what's important is what I see and what I'm reading has nothing to do with a partnership with the developer on this. This has everything to do with numbers, the growth. be added commercial to high residential, knowing where the school district currently sits and already sits.
I get that, but every time they've complained about being overcrowded, as soon as they've entered into a partnership, then it was okay they were overcrowded. So why is this one different?
I would have to know exactly what you're talking about, because most of the comments have come with pre-plats. And yeah, that's legislative, and yeah, it doesn't matter if they approve or don't approve of it at that point in the game. So unless you have a specific development that I voted yes on because they got into a partnership, that's not defensible in my eyes.
I remember them getting a favorable letter to one of their developers within the last 6 months. I'm trying to remember which one it was.
The last one was the Boise Basin out there. First they said no, and then they came back and said that we were able to partner.
But that was R4,
but
right?
Again, we're going into the thing that Mark
that was
discussed
R4, right?
About partnerships.
Mm-hmm. And I think as this evolves and this communication line evolves, you know, it's important to know that what was previously approved at one point isn't strictly ever going to be solely on that testimony of a partnership. And so unless there was a partnership agreement made in an annexation that I was able to impact at that level, then I can't say that I'm being hypocritical with, you know, other decisions. And I've always stated every review on every individual item that comes forward is looked at, in my eyes, as an individual item.
I don't think we denied that one. We just rescheduled that one, didn't we? And then met with the school district as a council.
On what hall?
On that Boise Basin one, I think we actually just rescheduled it to a later date, then met with the school district.
And then it came back.
Yeah.
And then we approved it.
Right. But we, I don't think we ever said no to deny it or...
Well, I don't think we ever based that decision off of a partnership either, the overall decision. That's what's important.
Yes.
Mark Ivey, city attorney. And I'd say I think it's important that the city council's decisions not be based off whether somebody partnerships or not, because it's not an appropriate approval criteria. Like, that's the concern I have from a legal perspective on this whole thing, is if we start saying, well, we did or didn't because of this, and we're approving or disapproving on a criteria that's not appropriate.
I think we're better off to base things off of the facts, and then moving forward, we work with the school district as diligently as possible to see what we can do to help with what their needs are.
Yeah, what bothers or scares me is that litigation-wise, we already have knowledge that this is going on. So when a letter comes saying we support this because of a partnership, we have to stay steady. We can't make our decision to a left or right based on what we're getting information from the school district, because then we're going to fall into this trap that we had knowledge that this is going on. That's the bad part.
Mm-hmm. Right. But then, too, you could look at, you know, we have not, I mean, our kids go to that school, so we can see how many kids are in a classroom and how many teachers that we need, or classrooms or buses to get them there. So, can we not use our own personal experiences to make that decision? Because we've seen that. I mean, also our constituents that depend on us to make the right decision for them, that have elected us to make those decisions.
And I think that goes to the conversation that we were just having, is we strictly can just look at the numbers. It has nothing to do with the partnership. Because we've seen it. The community's seen it. And that's what's important.
Said my piece, thank you.
Well, then I guess it boils down to, if we look at the facts, the fact is they've done their due diligence as a development. They've worked with our departments of sewer and ITD, not our department, but other entities as well, being ITD and whoever. And we can't base our decision based off the school district's yay or nay. So what's the conversation about here?
Conversation's about the rezone and what level of approval that can bring and the knowledge that we have of this. You sound like you're going strictly down the path of being told yay or nay by every individual entity, and then that's your decision. You're not looking at this as an individual. Or as a representative of the community. You're looking at it as a secretary that sees the T's crossed and the I's dotted. And we are at a level of approval right now where we're not in that technical compliance mode.
Yeah, but I think, Warren, and this is just me being human, if the letter from the school district today would have been, we support this, we wouldn't be sitting here this long. We would have already made the motion.
Yeah, this conversation would have been
over 4 minutes. We're basing this argument on the fact that the school district and the developer couldn't make an agreement.
See, I will never, ever accept you telling me I would have voted one way strictly on a single statement.
That's your choice. I'm just saying, as human, we've done this, and every time the school from the school district comes up, we have this hesitancy to make a decision because of this. But if the school district would have given their A-OK,
you would have voted to approve.
Well, sure.
But he said that they did figure out
something. But that's saying your argument is based on they don't have the room, but if they're turning around saying we have the room, it's okay, why would you vote against it?
Did they say that?
I'm talking logic.
Okay, I'm not speaking hypotheticals though. Did they say we have the room in our classes, we can approve this? And have they ever said that? Because you're now throwing in hypotheticals into their statements on what would logically get us to approve this, and that's just not how we need to look at these. I look at the numbers in front of me. I see they're already over capacity, and I see me building onto a problem that's already there. I don't want you guys sitting here saying, hypothetically, you'd vote yes if there was a partnership, and they said they did it, because that's strictly not true. You can never generalize a statement like that.
So it boils down basically to a decision of, is council going to ever approve anything until the school district issue is resolved? Because that's what we're talking about right now. Is city council willing to say no more until the school district says, yep, we're good? That's the conversation we're having right now. Is that where we're going?
No. Can I qualify that a little bit?
Yes.
Mark Bybee, city attorney. I'd say it also depends on the type of application, you know, like, because we've had this conversation before as a council, a plat approval is a different question than an annexation is a different question than a rezone. And so understanding what the approval criteria, but the question, and the point that Mayor made still is, you know, legitimate. It's just keep in mind that that varies to some degree depending on application type.
True. Commercial would be a whole different conversation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I then move that we to the right page here. Approve case number 20-01 PUD 20-06 ZC 20-08S 2201V and 2001DA.
Second.
With the staff recommendations.
Staff recommendations.
Okay. Does that cover what we need in the motion, Doug?
Okay.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed, by nay.
Nay.
Mayor, for the record, could we do a roll call?
Okay.
Councilmember Bruce?
Nay.
Councilmember Christensen?
Nay.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
Mayor, we have a tie.
Okay.
Do you wish to hold for another motion, or do you wish to be the tiebreaker?
Is there another motion that council can agree on? I just hate to get to a point where we're making that statement that we're just going to shut her down, because that's what we're saying here.
Well, with regular something that's already been annexed, then we wouldn't be even having this conversation. It's yeah. Changing it from commercial to now R12. So if it were already annexed and it was just a plat approval,
this conversation
we'd already be through it.
Yep.
Whether to say yay or nay.
So if this was, if this went through as was originally zoned, then
we wouldn't have any.
It'd be a different discussion.
I believe so. For me, I can only speak to myself.
Yeah. Okay. If the applicant comes back with something different, what would that need to look like?
I think we're just in a strictly growth concern with this denial. And I don't know that changing a zone right now from commercial to R12 is just the right move. So, you know, I can't give the developer a list of things to get me to say yes on a non-legislative, this is SLUPA. So that's my concern with this. That's why I'm standing where I am.
Yes.
Sorry. For the record, Doug Hansen, Cuno Planning and Zoning. Rezone applications are still protected under LUPA. So if this application was denied, we would need to be able to provide the applicant a specific course of action as to how they could return and obtain approval. And if there was a motion for denial, we would need to be extremely specific as to how we denied it, because if we denied it solely based off of enrollment and capacity and not about partnerships or however that may end up being legally outside of that, we're setting a precedent for all future applications that until they can meet enrollment, whether they work with the school district or not, is there really a reason for us to approve any of those applications if we base the denial solely off of the enrollment of students versus their capacity?
So that was my question to Mark earlier, and that's why I asked that. This isn't the same level of approval checklists and checkboxes as a pre-plat. But you're saying a rezone still has to qualify with state codes being violated, action plans to be approved, but we've never been asked that for annexations.
So the issue in LUPA talks about when you deny an application, there it says that there's a requirement to identify it to the applicant, whether it's a pre-plat or whether it's a rezone, what they could do to potentially obtain approval in the future. Because something we don't see often at city council levels anymore is you don't have an applicant show up with like a residential plat for a commercial zone, because I think we've passed that phase of, you know, development as a society. Like, people know not to come with that, because sometimes your direction could be come with a plat that fits the zone, you know, it could be that. And so when you're saying we're going to deny because we don't want to do the rezone, you do have an obligation still under LUPA to say, just like you would on a pre-plat, if there were specific things, you know, under your code that they didn't comply with, you said if you did X, Y, and Z, you'd be in compliance. You'd need to do that here too. The issue we have here is the basis for denial. Is this something that is it's a legislative issue out there that I'm trying to, I don't see what the applicant does to change the school district's capacity problems. Like, this applicant is not individually going to bring the school district into capacity, and nor can we condition them to do so.
Okay, so we have a current zone in place, C1. You're saying we've now hit that technical compliance level again on our zone. From a pre-plat standpoint, where we can't deny anything if they cross their T's and dot their I's.
If they had come forward with a technical, like, this isn't a solely, did I miss this? This is a mixed use zone or plat. And so we have mixed use. We have not just commercial uses in here. We have residential and commercial within the same plat. And so my understanding is the zoning is something different. If they came in with a purely, commercial plan that fit current zoning, I think that that'd be a different argument than what we're having right now, because they're complying with what it is right now. That another, to throw another caveat in here, I think this area might be future land use for a potential rezone. And so that definitely throws a whole nother layer. Future land use map isn't like, it's not in place by ordinance, it's not directive, it's a plan, it's not mandatory. And so if you don't follow your future land use map and don't go that way, I think some findings would be appropriate as to why you no longer deem this appropriate to, you know, future land use out of the current commercial designation.
So, Doug, this is currently zoned mixed use.
The property is currently zoned commercial C1. The future land use map designation on the adopted comp plan is mixed use.
Okay, so the current zone on this property is commercial zone. That's what I'm saying. Part of the rezone is they can change it to whatever they want as long as they're in technical compliance with things. So it's currently, we have a commercially zoned subdivision that's already annexed, already zoned. And they're wanting to change the zone.
That's correct. They want to change it to C1 and R12.
And that's my question is, they can rezone to whatever they want as long as they're in technical compliance with city code and state code and cross their T's and dot their I's.
No. So rezones and preliminary plats differ slightly. Preliminary plats are purely technical compliance, but because there is a rezone component, it's not purely technical compliance. They just would need a reason. They would need a basis of denial and an order to come back in order to get their application approved in the future. They would need a reason for denial and some sort of recourse. It could still be denied. It's not in that same boat as a pre-plat that just because they cross their T's and dot their I's, it needs to be approved.
So if we wanted to see a lower density, we just need to give them a path back forward, is what you're saying.
Are you willing to make a motion to that effect, Councilmember Bruce?
Where do you stand with that, Warren? We still want to be respectful of what they're doing as well.
Right.
They've done a lot, and we have to weigh each. I mean, because it's not only you're gonna have the traffic in that area, and then also if anyone else changes with what the sewer we have now. Because we just saw that issue where we kind of oversold one of the lift stations and having to move some other projects back. That's the only thing that I was thinking of with the density, the traffic coming off that corner. So there was multiple things from mine.
I'm willing to hear what you're willing to put forward. I'm willing to hear something.
Mark, we have a straight denial. A tie vote. How do we back from that to a new motion? Never done that one before.
Or does it just die if you didn't?
Well, it doesn't die because the votes were given. I think at this point, the mayor, if you abstain, I think I don't know if there's a perfect way to do this, but withdrawing the motion to allow an alternative motion because unless the mayor wants to act, that's ultimately, if you're going to forego acting, I think you have to request a new motion.
Okay. Do you want to make a new motion?
Yeah, so does he just abstain?
So I won't break the tie, so I would request a new motion.
You know, we're looking at 7 acres. It's not a ton of land. A lot of residents, and you draw an R12. And I think my main discussion on this was focused on the fact that we're building onto a problem. Fifty-four single-family lots, six common, six commercial is what they were coming at.
I mean, either way, it's going to compact the problem, but I think that that's where it's...
Yeah, I mean, we can minimize as much as we can. You know, if we're in a position right now, we're looking at schools imploding. Then we get in a position where we can at least make a suggestion.
Well, I was thinking more of the other stuff, too, like I spoke about. With the sewer, traffic, things like that. If you've been here longer, you go ahead and make a motion. I'll second it.
If I may,
yes.
You're probably tired of me. Mark Pivey, city attorney. Just as far as the motion, so I know we had a motion for approval, and there's not another one right now, but if we're thinking only approval or denial, I know there are other options to consider. Are if it's about getting some change to the plat, would it be possibly a motion to remand this to P&Z for a plat redesign to some degree, or not just a plat redesign, but like a different zoning designation request? Because if it's a denial, we're putting this applicant in a position that he's out a year before he's able to reapply again. And if that's not the objective, I just want to make sure all considerations are being put in there.
I'd be okay with that. I think that's better.
Yeah, instead of a denial on this, I'm happy to have him revisit.
Yeah.
It gets into tricky waters from the standpoint of talking about the growth because, well, we can dig through that question all day long.
Yeah.
What's too much? What's just right? What's not enough? What's too little? What's too large? And that's the scary path you don't want to go down. So I'm still willing to revisit that, though.
You want to make the motion?
I just don't have it in my head exactly what it is. You know, I think you were the one that really pushed for it and thought it was fair, Chris, and so I'd be happy to second something that I could support.
I'll just make a motion that we send this, would it be case number 20-01 PUD, back to planning and zoning for review for less density or project redesign? How would
I think a request for a lower density or zone proposal.
So I'll make a motion of case number 20-1-PUD that we send it back to planning and zoning for review for a lower density request.
Zoning proposal.
Zoning proposal.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to send this back for a proposal for lower density. We had a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
And I think that this is good because I think this helps give us guidance as to how council can work cohesively through these things so that we don't run into these problems. I think it's also better to let planning and zoning staff and applicants know so they don't go through an entire process and get to this point and end up being denied. So I appreciate that discussion.
What does lower density mean? What is your number that you're looking for? If he comes back with one less, is that that's lower? I mean, I'm not trying to be difficult. I kind of really want a number that you're after.
R12 and then R8 is the next.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that. So that R12, but then you still lower to R8, but. You know, they're planning 54 single-family homes, in a sense, could still happen. That's why the number itself is tricky. 7 acres, R8, you're looking at 56 homes. If they wanted to maybe do 50 homes and have a tiny little commercial thing, they could, according to the R8 designation. So is R8 still too much? Is R6, is R4? That's why I didn't want to throw a number on that, because... there's no right answer. So I think maybe we have faith in what planning and zoning can look at. And
yeah, I'll be good with that. I don't want to put a number on it. But I mean, you're right.
We're still looking at the same growth, the same concern that we've had if they come right back with an R8. So. You want to put a lower number on it, we could. If not, let's just have faith in them and see what happens.
I'm fine with that. Let's just... we've been on this a while, so...
does that give enough clarity to even bring back?
I Mark Bybee, city attorney. Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess, without talking to him, the applicant and Doug are both sitting there asking, what's the number? I'm sure they're both concerned exactly about right. that. And so, this if struggle I'm having, too, does this ultimately address the bigger issue? Because there's a lot of, you know, considerations into why we future land use things the way we do, and where do we want higher density development? Doug's much better situated than myself to answer those questions, why this was future land use in the manner it was. And it's like, are we defeating other objectives and trying to accomplish its objective? Kind of getting beyond the question. But, yeah, I'm sure applicant, P&Z, and Doug are all going to ask the same question of what's really the right number. And if we don't know it right now, will we know it when it comes back?
Let me look real quick. Surrounding properties, Doug, on the top. Okay, so we've got nothing bigger than an R6 in all surrounding lands.
Nothing bigger than R6?
Nothing from north, south, east, and west. Nothing bigger than an R6. It's all C1, neighborhood commercial, and there's even some C2 and R6. Nothing else is bigger than an R6 in surrounding lands.
And if you don't mind me speaking, I am not a big proponent of apartment complexes. I'm not. But I realize that in a growing community, you have to have them. And this is just my logic. If we're going to have them, Highway 69 or close to Highway 69 is a better traffic barrier arterial road than Linder or... any interior town roads that they just can't handle the traffic, but Highway 69 can handle the traffic. If any place in town can, that's Highway 69. So I don't understand why this is this big of an issue on Highway 69. It's the perfect place for it if we're going to have high density.
I think we're getting back into the whole debate on trying to approve this as opposed to figure out what the motion land use is right now, because we've got that second in place already. So if, you know, Chris wants to withdraw the motion, Councilman Bruce, to have that discussion again about trying to convince us to turn around and vote yes on it.
No, I'm not trying to convince you. It's just out speaking of, if, are you saying no apartment complexes from now on?
I don't play that game.
Well,
I made that really clear. So right now we're talking zone in this zone.
Okay, so your recommendation be R6?
I think an R6 is logical. We do R8, we're in the same boat with the same concerns. R6 brings that down to something we can at least review that's new. Okay. That changes the discussion.
So do I need to make it again, clarify just, the motion?
Or? Just add whatever you want to add to it.
So we send it back to planning and zoning for R6 designation or lower?
Yes, and I think, are you still okay with it being a mixed use where a portion of it's commercial and R6? You're looking for all R6.
I'm okay with it being mixed use.
Okay, so yeah, a motion to remand. To PNZ with a proposal from the applicant that incorporates R6 density into the residential portions of the plat.
So we'll make a motion to case number 2001 PUD to send it back to planning and zoning for a designation of the residential portion of the property to an R6.
I'll second that.
Okay, so we have a subsequent motion. On the floor, is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Mayor, can I take a roll call vote, please?
Let's do a roll call.
Thank you. Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
No.
Council President McPherson?
No.
Mayor, sir, we have a tie again. From a clerk's perspective, is it possible for council to table the matter until a date certain to rediscuss or... continue to discuss or to have you break the tie?
I'd really like to come to some middle ground here at some point. So I guess my recommendation would be to table this for a date certain and I don't know, perhaps Doug can help me come up with some ideas to bring back for discussion.
Excuse me, Mayor. I would suggest the first meeting in August because we have budget workshop at the next one.
Is that amenable to all?
I will be gone.
Okay. All right, can we have a motion to that effect?
Well, you won't be here, right?
You lose my point of the discussion at that point, so if
that's well, I think we'll guys... still have your point of the discussion, and you seem similar, so. I want to get to some middle ground, is my goal.
I'm okay with August 2nd. So I'll make a motion that we table case number 20-1 PUD until August 2nd.
Do we have to reschedule CC and the rest of it also?
Yes, so all of the the entire item.
So I'll make a motion that we table case number 20-1-PUD, 20-06-ZC, 20-08-S, 22-01-V, and 20-01-DA to the date of August 2nd.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
All right. Public hearing for the consideration of Ordinance 2022-22, amending Chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Title 12 of CUNA City Code. Chris Ingalls, City Clerk.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm catching up. Apologize. So these are the impact fees for police, parks, and fire. Everything has been properly noticed. Everything has been properly published. It has been through the planning and zoning for the comp plan. We saw increases. The police have gone to $271 per household and 11 cents for commercial per square foot. Parks has gone to $2,604 for household. They stayed at zero for commercial. Fire is at $1,792 for household, 0.531 for industrial, 0.788 for retail, 0.753 for office. The committees have met in compliance with state law. We had Ann Westcott do the consulting and do all the calculations. It has been approved by the CUNA Impact Fee Committee. It has been approved by the Fire District Commission, and then the Impact Fee Committee that functioned for fire prior to the merge. And I will stand for any questions, and also Ann Westcott is here if we have any questions for her as well.
Okay. Thank you very much, and I appreciate all the work and effort that has gone into this. It certainly is not easy coordinating all of the entities in one pot, but it'll sure simplify things as we move on down the road. So a lot of time and effort has been put into it, and I think that unfortunately schools are still not on there, but we can't help that here. So I think we would appreciate, every day that this goes by, then we miss out. So the same place, the better, if council is amenable to that.
Yep. So it's public hearing, no, right?
And this is a pretty common standard thing to do, is to update as assets grow and things change. It's basically doing our due diligence. So.
I agree.
Report serious. That was awesome. A lot of stuff in there.
Okay. Is there anybody who wishes to testify in this? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and open the public hearing, and you can ask questions. It looks like it's all pretty well laid out.
Yeah, pretty self-explanatory. Good thing to be able to increase our parks and walkways and projects with funds from development, not taxpayers. Good deal.
Yeah, absolutely makes sense.
I'm good?
Yeah, okay. I'm good.
Okay, then I would move we make a motion we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Okay.
I'll second.
Motion's made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Then I would move we waive three readings of Ordinance 2022-22.
I'll second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
I would move we approve Ordinance 2022-22.
Second.
Motion is made to approve. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries.
I would move we approve summary publication of Ordinance 2022-22.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Business items, 7A. Consideration for the receipt and consideration of a legal arguments from the school district and applicant, Doug Hansen.
Mayor, council members, for the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. The CUNA School District submitted a letter requesting reconsideration on June 28, 2022 for case number 2117AN, 2106CPF, and 2106DA Skylar Ranch Subdivision, which was approved by this council on June 7th with findings of fact signed on June 21st. The applicant for Skylar Ranch Subdivision, Mason & Associates, provided a letter on June 30th, 2022 in response to the school district's letter requesting reconsideration of the application. The CUNA School District letter of reconsideration and Mason & Associates' response can be found starting on page 167 of the packet.
Okay, Mark, would you explain proper procedure on this?
Yes. Mark Bybee, city attorney. So the purpose on it, putting this on as a business item tonight is we're seeking direction from the city council, essentially a motion either to set this for some further action or no motion at all. If you take no motion at all, if you make no motion at all, what happens is by operation of law, within 60 days of when the request for reconsideration was filed, it will be deemed denied. That's just what will happen. If you actually want to hear some presentations from the parties on this, or I'm using the term party, but the applicant and the school district, and potentially receive further argument, maybe even factual presentations, the other option would be a motion to set this for a future hearing of some type, whether it's a public hearing where you receive comment from the public entirely or you're just seeking comment from the applicant and the school district. I think we would need to clarify in the notice that goes out. But really the options today are no action at all or some kind of motion to set it for a future date. We're not looking for you to decide the merits of the application at this time. Request for reconsideration, but whether or not you see anything in there that you believe warrants setting this for further deliberation for receipt of argument.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor?
Yes.
You know, the statement turned in from Mason Associates is kind of the one thing that really solidified in my head that, you know, it may not be appropriate to reopen this, but they do state the approval is for a final plat for the two existing homes to remain and be sold as individual lots. The third lot will not be provided a building permit without a preliminary plat. At that time, the exact number of lots will be known. The current concept plan will not impact the school district, as no new residential building permits have been approved. Please provide us with the school's position on how the approved three-lot subdivision will create additional needs for the CUNA school district. This is very unique in that this was all brought in under that notion and knowing, you know, we don't have to get into that discussion again as to why we all voted the way we did, but I don't know that this necessarily needs to be reopened. I don't think it does.
Well, I think you made the right decision. I think you made the right choice with everything that was presented in the hearing. Nobody testified against it. The only testimony was in favor and neutral.
Neutral.
So, I guess I was a little surprised to see the letter, but at any rate.
I agree. I'm with Warren. You just want to let it die? You want to deny it, or what?
This is the matter, I think, of letting it die at this point. I don't know what we deny.
What do you think, John?
We just no, choose not to reopen.
No motion.
Okay, no motion. Greg?
I'm in favor of that. I'm looking at something because I've noticed with the numbers presented in school district things about capacities of schools, they vary. It says in this letter, 1,900 is the max capacity for the two high schools, but we just saw in the letter.
Is what we saw in the high school letter, I thought.
The numbers are different from the very last letter we just got done reviewing. From the last...
From June of 21?
No, it said capacity at CUNA High was 1,500. Capacity at Swan Falls High was 500. That's 2,000. That's right. This letter we're looking at right here says it's 1,900. And I was looking at something a while back on their website, and it said right on there, oh, the average classroom here only has 20 kids in it. And so if you do, there's 29 classrooms, but then it says the capacity of the school is 600. But then they said in the letter 2 weeks later, that school's overcrowded. My head says their numbers don't jive. So I'm willing to just say, yeah, let this thing die. Because their numbers are different every time they come to us with how many kids are at a school and what their capacity is at a school and whatever. I'm not sure they even know. So.
Okay. No one's making a motion? That then takes us to formation of a council committee for public works. We have on the agenda public works capacities. I'd like to just change that to public works because we might get a little more involved in just what capacities are. Council Member McPherson on a few different things. Council Member Larraway, thank you for becoming our... I had him take your spot on Compass, so he's done that officially now. But I think I would like to ask if you're willing to, Council Member Larraway and Council Member Bruce, to take on this committee role. I don't know that it'll take a lot of extra time and meetings, but kind of help speed things up for us through public work discussion and what capacities are and just give us all a better understanding. And then, so basically you'd be on that committee, you'd come back, just give a report to myself and Council Member McPherson.
Yeah, I don't mind.
If you're all good with that.
And if you're good with that.
Yeah, yeah, sounds great.
And you're leaving.
Yeah,
so he's good with it.
Absolutely.
We're going to follow you to Florida.
He's going to play with sharks and stuff.
Are you, John, you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Councilmember McPherson, would you just make a motion to form a committee, including Councilmembers Laura Wayne Bruce, on Public Works matters?
I would move we appoint Councilmember Bruce and Councilmember Leway to the Committee for Public Works Capacities.
I will happily second that. Or is it just Committee for Public Works?
Yeah, can we leave the capacities
part off? Yes, for Public Works. How about that?
Second. Thank you. Stands.
I get a car?
Does he get a car?
I get a company car?
The new guy wants a car now. Jeez, this is not Wheel of Fortune. You don't win a car.
Mark, help me out here. No.
More of a truck.
Just give him the car.
Just give him the car. Great. What a help he is.
For all right. For the record, that voice was Doug Hansen. Just kidding.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. You guys really know how to drive off an audience. All right. Consideration to approve ordinance 2022-20. Municipal annexation and zoning ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA, making certain findings and declaration of authority and annexing certain real properties, to wit, Ada County Assessor's parcel number S132423-3800, owned by CUNA Lutheran Church Incorporated, within the unincorporated area of Ada County, Idaho, and contiguous to the corporate limits of the City of CUNA, into the City of CUNA, Idaho, and establishing the zoning classifications of said real properties and directing the city engineer and the city clerk and providing an effective date. And that just is a confirmation of action that we...
I would move we approve ordinance 2022-20. Oh, wait. Sorry. I'll wait through readings of that ordinance first.
Second.
Just kidding.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of the ordinance. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Now I will move we approve ordinance 2022-20.
Come back.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the ordinance. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Consideration to approve ordinance 2022-21, a municipal ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA, amending Title I of the CUNA City Code by the addition of a new Chapter 6A, providing for City Council agenda setting, determination and authorization, and providing for setting of a meeting agenda, request fee, and directing the City Clerk and providing an effective date.
I would move we waive three readings of Ordinance 2022-21.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
I would move we approve Ordinance 2022-21.
I'll second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve Ordinance 2022-21. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. No executive session. Mayor Council announcements. We had really good... Popsicles with the mayor was fun. Most of the time, though, a lot of the compliments I got was thank you for the new playground. And the new playground that's open, Bobby and his team did a good job of getting that designed. And
Yes, thank you. I heard that,
finally got it put in, got the contractor to get it done, and have heard a lot of good things about it, so.
I went and used it. You should try it out. Soft.
You haven't tried it out yet?
No, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
How was it?
It's great. Soft. Soft to walk on.
Did you fall down? And?
No, no, I stood. I got up.
I wanted somebody to go fall down on there. So let's see.
All my kids were over there, so, but it's really great. It's nice.
So, yeah, they did a great job on that one. That's definitely a good deal. Does anybody else have anything?
The pterodactyl event. Sounds like it went good.
Yeah.
Room to improve, but I got a lot of compliments from people about it. So.
Yeah.
I don't know what the attendance actually was at it. No, I don't know if Bobby knows. Bobby can't talk, so it was good. Good attendance. Okay.
Thumbs up.
This many?
One person,
yes. Bobby was there.
Oh, Tommy Thumb.
At least two.
Two people.
Look forward to doing it again next year, and hopefully it's bigger, better. Good event for the kids. So.
Good. Yeah, those are kind of things that take a lot of work, but they are really good to bring the community together.
And it's hard to get a lot of big stuff in one spot together at the same day and time.
So. Just ask Chris. She tries to get truck drivers to park their truck where we want them to go. All right. And, I am officially now the president of Association of Idaho Cities.
Congratulations.
Gavel has my name on it now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Cool. Give you a car?
I didn't get a car. I did not get a company car.
This was about the.
I said I did. It was a great name tag, actually.
This wasn't about the car. I was going to say, I'm just curious, do you think through that role that, like, with this whole impact fee conversation that's going on, that there is desire at Associated Idaho Cities to do anything there? I'm just curious your take being involved with the organization more.
Well, I'm actually on the legislative committee also, so I bring that up quite often, but a lot of times, the last time that legislation was run, the Idaho State School Board Association voted not to be in favor of that. So
yeah,
that's pretty hard legislation to run when that association says no and the Association of Idaho Cities is saying yes. So we've kind of backed off to follow other folks' leads on things like that. And I still don't understand the logic to that. But
this is why I'm not in politics.
I know, we were pushing, and then they said, yeah, we don't want to support that.
It's an interesting bit of history to have for sure. Okay. Yeah, wow.
Anyway, CUNA School District, however, on the other hand, were the ones that were really pushing for it. They did a pretty good job, but they just didn't get the support. So hopefully they can get that brought back. Okay, anything else? All right, then meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.